Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's guest is Zach Gaddy, Director of Defense Finance and Accounting Service. And joining us in our conversation is Chuck Pro. Well, Zach, in the last segment, you talked a lot about the strategic goals and the plans. How are you measuring how you're doing against those?
Well, you know, the thing I would like to point out, I've heard again, I don't know how to attribute this to, was having any strategic plan is a good thing, but what really sets you apart is being able to implement it. A bad plan is better than no plan, but no matter how good your plan is, if you're not measuring how well you're doing it, it doesn't really matter. For us, we've been using a tool called Balanced Scorecard for the last 3.5 years. It's been very valuable to us. It's pointing us in the right direction. We look at customer, we look at financial, we look at internal learning and growth, and we look at how we can look across the whole enterprise. At the same time, we have something called performance management indicators. So those go beyond what's in the balanced scorecard that we track, literally about 400 of those. Another area that we use is something called service level agreements. And those service level agreements capture the services we provide to a particular customer, the service level objectives, and how well we're doing against them. And we actually brief those to our customers every quarter. But on the performance management indicators, as well as the balanced scorecard, we actually use that on a month-to-month basis to track performance in key areas. And just recently, we've introduced something called a customer advisory forum, where we bring our customers in every quarter to talk about the things we're doing to make sure that strategically and tactically we're on target. Because if we're tracking performance management indicators for things they don't care about anymore, you know, if we've made satisfactory progress and it's time to move on to the next strategic target, okay, are we there yet? Has something new come down the pike that's just pushed something off the plate that we ought to pay more attention to? We need to pay attention to that. A good example would be, you know, with the global war on terror, all the call up of Guard and Reserve. There's a lot of issue with contingency travel and payments to Guard and Reserve that we need to make sure we're paying correctly. And so we have to put more focus on those areas probably than we planned on, and that may force something else off to the side until we make sure those processes work correctly. But we track this stuff. Every time I go to a field site or a site for a visit, I pay attention to what's posted on the walls. Do I see the indicators out there? Does management brief me on their performance against those key indicators? At the business line level, where we have accounting services, mill civ pay services, and commercial pay services, I meet with those business line executives every month with the sole purpose of reviewing performance against these critical areas.
The prior segment, you discussed business intelligence. Now let's talk more about developing the corporate capabilities to deliver client-unique business intelligence by 2005. What are some of the challenges that DFAS faces on moving towards a more integrated, value-added solution?
Well, that's also a great question, because the reality is a lot of people have a different idea of what business intelligence is. To some people, it's just simply static array of information, whether it's interest penalty payments, lost discounts, obligation rates. To others, it's internal business or management information that only they care about and nobody else should. So they don't necessarily like the idea of transparency. So as a department, I think one of our challenges is we have a lot of intelligence or indicators or data and many databases all throughout the department. Where do you bring that together? So one of the biggest challenges is, what do you care about? And you can get swamped or inundated with just too much and not pay enough attention on the things that are really critical. So one of our biggest hurdles is just reaching agreement on what it is we want to measure. Then the next step of that process is, how do you want to measure it? I mean, what's good or bad performance? What does that look like? So that you'll know the upper and lower limits, for example, of a certain metric. And then probably the third and most critical event is, well, what analysis do you want to perform for performance? So that when you see the indicator says you're doing well, how did you achieve that? Or more importantly, if you're not doing what you thought you wanted to do, what's inhibiting you or preventing you from achieving good performance? And that's where I think as a department, because funds, for example, are executed at literally thousands of locations within the department, how do you explain something as simple as budget execution at the top when you have to go out and touch literally thousands of people to find out what budget execution is? What's the process look like for that, both in terms of people, technology, and process? So I look at that and say it's a big challenge. It's much bigger than people give it credit for, because individually you can come up with something that fits a particular organization. It's when you step back and look at the DoD enterprise or even a military department enterprise, it gets tougher and tougher to do because there's so many organizations involved, all with their own ideas of what business intelligence is and how much of that they want to share with others.
Although DFAS has consolidated financial and accounting services across the military, the processes and operations are still somewhat unique. What are your plans for further consolidation?
Well, some of those are going to be accomplished through something called the Business Management Modernization Program. Something like Defense Travel System, for example, it standardizes how travel is done throughout DoD. Today, there's an Army, Navy, Air Force, and Defense Agency way of doing travel. In the future, because of DTS, there will be a way to do travel. When you look at military pay, today the Marine Corps has a way to do Marine Corps pay because they have their own system. The rest of DoD is on another system. In the future, there will be something called DIMERS, Defense Integrated Human Resources System, that will have one way of doing military pay. So in one sense, BMMP is bringing more standardization to the table. At another level, that's where if you start looking at finance and accounting systems or business management systems, there's still going to be more than one typically out there. So the question is, well, how do you normalize across many systems? And that's called, within BMMP, they have something called standard business rules. So I don't care what system you're on, if you do an accounts receivable transaction, it ought to be done the same way. The same standard terminology is used, the same data elements used, the same fields are described, and the process is the same. And what I like to think someday is we'll be smart enough that the screens won't even look that different, even though behind the screen is a different application. That shouldn't matter. What you're looking at, what you're processing, pretty much looks the same. So our goal within DFAS is to work with BMMP to help craft those standard business rules, to help deploy those systems to the end users and be trained on it ourselves and help do the training and ensure that we have a much more homogeneous product than we've had over the last 13 years.
It would sound then that implementation of BMMP will be a key to further standardization and thus reduction of the obstacles you described. Can you give us some examples of how those obstacles may be overcome by a standard solution?
Well, again, if I use DTS as an example, when you go out today with IATS, which is Integrated Travel System, there's an IATS for the Marine Corps, there's an IATS for the Army, there's an IATS for other users. So how you do travel won't be the same. The joint travel regulation is, in fact, the same wherever you go. So the reality becomes, how do I take a standard application and embed within it the same rules for everyone? If you look at civilian personnel, I mean, there is now today a common civilian personnel management system. So no matter where you are in DOD, your civilian personnel servicing looks more and more the same. When I look at standard systems out there that are integrated and they have standard nomenclature and standard business rules, then one of the issues becomes you can't have an Army, Navy, Air Force flavor to something like you do today, because the systems we typically use today are very old. They've been around many years, were custom developed for a specific user base, and they've been embedded with them whatever the practices they had from 10, 15, 20 years ago. The new systems, I don't care if it's a system for DLA or a system for the Army, they're going to use the same common business rules, common operating environment. You know, so those things will be the same. I don't care what the name of the system is and whether it's the same application or not. Shouldn't really make a difference. And then we can start doing what DoD likes to call net-centric approach, where you can reach out to many sources of information, record that information once, but share it across the enterprise. And that's something I think that will enable business intelligence. It will enable sharing of information in ways that we can't do it today, and will help ensure that we do, in fact, have standard business rules that are being used throughout the department.
As I understand it, DFAS is a matrix organization with services and industries. I'm curious how that's working out in the sense of what are the challenges and then what are the benefits?
I'll start with the benefits first. The benefits, I think, when we stood up our business lines, if you take something like commercial pay business line, in the past we had a contract pay organization in Columbus, and then we had what we call vendor pay, which are typically payments that are managed locally at over 25 locations, all running different systems, not 25 different systems, or about 10 or 12 different systems. in the past, you looked at it along service lines. How does the Army do business? How does the Navy do business? How does the Air Force do business, et cetera? When we put somebody in charge of commercial pay, then you start looking across all the business or the whole business line of how vendor pay or commercial pay is being performed. And you start to see, you know, again, you can't make it all exactly the same unless you put everybody in the same process. But you could start looking at where it was dissimilar even within the Air Force, because in the past you would have had a site person at a particular field site managing that vendor pay operation and another site two states away running the same application doing vendor pay just a little bit different because that's what their customer wanted. And now you had someone looking across vendor pay, say, for Army or Air Force. You're also looking at vendor pay for all services, trying to identify, you know, the best ideas that now fit across the board, something like wide area workflow or something like electronic document management. So you can start applying more standard solutions outside of the particular application that's being used. So the benefits are you start to see a more holistic view of things. And that's true for finance, accounting, as well as military civilian pay services. The challenge you have to face is it's just as easy to form a stovepipe horizontally as it is to form one vertically. And you can't lose sight of the fact that whatever goes on in our three business lines have an effect upon one another. If you're going to make a travel payment, a civilian pay payment, or contract payment, they all flow through dispersing. The information's embedded somewhere in accounting. So one of the things we have to guard against is having too much of a business line focus and not enough integration between the business lines to make sure that our processes are flowing the way we want them to. And I'm particularly concerned about that now because of BMMP when I look at how do modern systems do business. And so when we stood our business lines up back in 2000, we set them up based on the current processes that existed then and have existed since then. One of the things we have to make sure of going forward is, I'm not saying that business lines aren't something we'll retain, but what we define within a particular business line may change based on how technology supports performing those functions.
That's interesting. How will information technology change the way DFAS conducts business? We'll ask DFAS Director Zach Gaddy for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.